Head out on the highway, looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way, yeah, gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving place. Fire all of the guns and bombs and explode into space. I like smoking lightning.
Welcome back, everyone, to the front line with Joe and Joe, Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello. And we are deep, deep, deep into the breach on the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online at crusadechannel.com, the last live radio station standing. Our call and telephone number is 844-527-8723. And our live chat room, the only social media out there worth actually socializing in, is online at crusadechannel.com/chat. So let's get right into it. Joe and I have been talking about judges. We've been talking about the need to vote for Trump. And we welcome back to the show a friend of the show, Father Stephen Imbarato, the protest priest. Welcome back, Father Steve.
Hey, it's good to be with you guys. How are you?
Father, you hear us? Very good.
Thanks for asking.
Before we get into the conversation, Father, could you tell the listeners a little bit about your latest trip? I know you were on the road for life, driving across the U.S. for a couple months. Could you tell everyone about that trip? I know it was kind of exciting. You lost a tire along the way, I remember you telling me.
Well, actually, I'm taking a two-week break from the trip, which was planned to cover a parish here in Albuquerque where I own a house and I live. I'm a retired priest with the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. So I was on the road for, I guess, almost a month. And yes, I lost a wheel on my camper chapel. My Mother Teresa mobile chapel is now in a RV service area in South Carolina, about 50 miles from the Georgia border. And hopefully by the time I'm done with this 2 weeks, and then I have some gigs up in New York State, then a little bit of time off in Florida. But hopefully by the beginning of October, I will have the camper back on the road, the chapel back on the road. And I'll be spending the entire month of October, probably through the election, in Florida and various places to get out the vote, right, to make sure that I call the tour the End the Joe Biden Scandal Tour. Right. And that's the emphasis. A lot of people, you know, try to focus on the difference between Trump and Biden and everything else. And as a Catholic priest, much as I support Trump, and I believe that he's going to eliminate the excluded class of the unborn from the moment of conception. He's going to give personhood from the moment of conception to the unborn under the 14th Amendment, due process, equal protection of the law. I believe he's going to do that. Me, being a Catholic priest, my primary concern is Joe Biden. His scandal is intrinsically evil political agenda that gives a scandal to his church. Our faith, makes a mockery of our faith. And indeed, the fact that no Catholic, and I lay out the doctrinal case, I think that's what we're going to discuss today, the doctrinal case, why no Catholic can vote for Joe Biden without the stain of mortal sin. So that is the emphasis of my tour, basically the month of October. And please keep me in your prayers, especially that the camper can get back on the road, although the camper not being back on the road will hinder me in terms of being able to celebrate Mass in front of abortion mills, but won't keep me from touring. As a matter of fact, on October 1st, I'm going to be in front of Joe Biden's house with Bishop Joseph Coffey and others, and we're going to basically kick off at our month of October the End of Joe Biden Scandal Tour.
Father, I cannot believe I hadn't heard that. I just got goosebumps when you said that you're going to say, because it shows the difference between us and them and the thugs out there that want to burn things down. You're going in front of his house to pray for the man. You know what I mean? I'm sure you're going to be praying for him and his family and his conversion. So I think that's such a powerful thing to do.
Yeah, and it will will be a prayer vigil for sure. And to bring attention to the fact that, you know, these people, these Catholics who want to vote for Joe Biden in spite of the fact that he's a scandal, in spite of the fact that he's an idolater, the fact that he defies his Catholic faith, not just in one issue, but many issues, is a scandal to our Catholic faith, don't really care about his soul. And that is the primary concern, should be the primary concern of the church, should be the primary concern of any bishop or any Catholic, that his soul is saved. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? And so this is why we need to be concerned about Joe Biden. And, of course, we need to be concerned about our Catholic faith. And not only does he make a mockery of our Catholic faith, but really in many of his positions, he is confrontational to the Catholic faith. The Little Sisters of the Poor example is evident, where the Supreme Court in the 7-2 majority sided with the Little Sisters of the Poor and their freedom of Catholic conscience, including two liberal justices sided with the Little Sisters of the Poor, 7-2, and in spite of that, Joe Biden said if he becomes president, he's going to force the Little Sisters of the Poor, read that, all Catholics, to pay for abortion and contraception. Now, how can you call yourself a good Catholic when, indeed, you would force Catholics to absolutely, positively engage in intrinsic evil against their conscience and their faith? It just cannot stand.
I've heard you on other interviews, Father. You give a litany, you call it, of Joe Biden as to why it would be a grave sin for a Catholic to vote for him. Could you just kind of run that down for our good listeners on the Crusade Channel?
Yeah, sure. And it's really pretty simple. So it deals with Canon 915. It deals with, and I can flesh it out for an hour, guys, but I'll give you the short version. I preached on it this particular week, just this past weekend. But Canon 915, and then I'm going to talk about one article from Living the Gospel of Life, which was an authoritative document put out by the U.S. bishops in 1998, predicated on the infallible document, Living the Gospel of Life. One article, 31, I'm only going to read part of it. And then we're going to talk about scandal in the catechism. So we're talking about church documents, all right? So I'm not offering my opinion. I am going to lay out the case that a Catholic cannot vote for Joe Biden without committing mortal sin using church documents, church teaching. Okay, so let's go to Canon 915. Canon 915 talks about those who are excommunicated. I'm not going to get into the excommunication of Joe Biden because it gets a little convoluted and it gets a little confusing. But the second half of the canon says, or others who obstinately persevere in manifest grave sin should not be admitted to communion. So those who obstinately persevere in manifest public grave sin, I call it persistent mortal sin. Now, nobody, not one bishop, not one priest, has ever denied that Joe Biden is not in persistent mortal sin. Nobody, even James Martin, has never said that. He said, well, it's not a mortal sin to vote for Joe Biden. But he's never said, and I've challenged him and I've challenged others, are you saying that Joe Biden is not in persistent, manifest mortal sin? No, nobody's ever. So that's accepted. And that's why he's been refused communion. And that's been substantiated by bishops that he should have been received communion because of Canon 915. He cannot be admitted to communion because he obstinately perseveres. He's in persistent mortal sin, perseveres in manifest public grave sin. Okay. We go to the bishops of the United States, Article 31 in Living the Gospel of Life. The bishops say this. We urge those Catholic officials who choose to depart from Catholic teaching on the inviolability of human life. Now, I want to just interject something there, okay? Not only is Joe Biden defied Catholic teaching on abortion, defies Catholic teaching on contraception, immoral experimentation, same-sex marriage, population control within his environmental agenda. He's presided over same-sex marriage. And again, we talked about Little Sisters of the Poor and freedom of Catholic conscience, right? So there's numerous areas. That's why those liberal Catholics who want to say, well, you can vote for Joe Biden even though he is for abortion, personally for abortion, they say. Well, it's not just one issue. It's a litany of issues, right? But the bishops put about one issue, on the inviolability of human life in their public life, to consider the consequences for their own spiritual well-being, right? So now think about that term, the consequences for their own spiritual well-being. Well, venial sin can never jeopardize our spiritual well-being, but mortal sin can. Yes? Right. Okay. As well as the scandal they risk by leading others into serious sin. So just hold that in your back of your mind for a second. As well as the scandal they risk by leading others into serious sin. We call on them to reflect on the grave. Right, that's another word the Catholic Church uses for mortal. Right, St. John calls it deadly, grave, mortal, same thing. On the grave contradiction of assuming public roles and then presenting themselves as credible Catholics when their actions on fundamental issues of human life are not in agreement with Church teaching. And Biden does exactly that, right?
Okay. Right.
Let's go now to scandal. And this is going to be quick. There's four articles in scandal. It's under thou shalt not kill. Why is scandal in the thou shalt not kill? Because Jesus says, don't worry about the one who can kill the body. Worry more about the one who can kill the body and take your soul. Scandal is the killing of the soul. Okay? Scandal is an attitude or behavior which leads another to do evil. The person who gives scandal becomes his neighbor's tempter. Scandal is a grave offense if by deed or omission another is deliberately led into a grave offense. Now, remember, Joe Biden is guilty of obstinate persevering in manifest grave evil, okay, deliberately. Scandal takes on a particular gravity, right? Now, we're talking about mortal sin here, by reason of the authority of those who cause it. Scandal is grave when given by those who by nature or office are obliged to teach and educate others. Scandal can be provoked by laws or institutions. Therefore, they are guilty of scandal who establish laws or social structures leading to the decline of morals and the corruption of religious practice or to social construct intentionally or not. Make Christian conduct and obedience to the commandments difficult and practically impossible. Now, here's the clincher for all of us, every Catholic. 2287. Anyone who uses the power at his disposal in such a way that it leads others to do wrong becomes guilty of scandal. Now, what is the power at our disposal in an election period? Our vote. In such a way that it leads others to do wrong, becomes guilty of scandal, right? So in other words, if we encourage Joe Biden to continue persevering in this manifest grave evil, right, we are responsible for the evil that he has directly or indirectly encouraged. So formally or materially, all right, cooperation. This is clear. Anyone who wants to sit down and read this stuff, it's clear that a Catholic commits the grave sin of scandal, either formally or materially, and material cooperation with scandal can be a mortal sin. It is a mortal sin in this particular instance. There's no escaping it. I've talked to a bishop on the phone, read this to him, ran this by him. He said, Father, we have a lot of work to do. He didn't say, Father, you're wrong. Nobody's ever said, Father, you're wrong. And there are people saying, Father, you cannot say that Catholics commit mortal sin, but they don't lay out the case, and they don't tell me why I'm wrong, and nobody has said, Father, your interpretation of the canon, your interpretation of scandal, and your interpretation of the bishop's statement is wrong. Nobody. All right, so the bottom line is,
If you care about Joe Biden's soul and you care about your own soul, you can't vote for Joe Biden. Now, people say to me, well, what about the other guy? What about Trump? Hey, if you can't in good conscience vote for Trump, don't vote for Trump. Okay? That's what you can't do. Don't do it. Write in the third party. Write in. I tell people I'll take a write-in vote. But you cannot vote for Joe Biden.
What's the hesitation, Father? I mean, here you are. To me, you speak very clearly. I say this like my wife and I when we talk. You know us. I mean, when we talk, I always say Christ was perfectly clear. What is the problem? I don't hear this clear message. What you're saying to me is you're just painting by numbers. You're reading the documents. You're bringing up canon. It's perfectly clear. Maybe I'm just a simpleton, but it's perfectly clear. I don't understand why we do not have a unified voice on this. I simply don't.
Because people enjoy sin, man. Plain and simple. Come on. Goes back to Adam and Eve. Why did they eat the apple? It was perfectly clear. You can't eat the apple. You can eat anything else. Indulge in any. You can't eat, well, not the apple, but you can't eat the fruit. You can't eat the forbidden fruit, right? Don't eat the forbidden fruit, right? They go and eat the forbidden fruit. I mean, this doesn't surprise anybody. This has been going on for 7,000 years since the beginning of creation, 2,000 years in the church, heresy after heresy after heresy, right? It's sin. People like sin. People enjoy sin.
Do you think, Father Imbarato, because there's a group out there that call the Catholic Coalition Against Religious Tests, there's other groups out there. Do you think that what you're saying, Father Altman recently went viral on YouTube, he's out in Wisconsin, I'm sure you've heard of him or seen his video, they're speaking very clearly like you, and in one case, and I promise you, Father, we're not going to get into a bishop bashing session, that's not what we do, but they're urging Archbishop Wilton Gregory, because he is obviously in D.C., to come out and make a statement about what this, in this article that I'm referencing, called a Catholic problem. And it's specifically the Democrats' Catholic problem, because it's obviously there. I mean, you mentioned the Little Sisters of the Poor. Leaving aside abortion, which you can't, but leaving that aside for a second, when you look at the treatment of the Little Sisters of the Poor, when you look at the treatment of Catholics who are being nominated for judgeships, we talked in another segment before you came on about Kamala's treatment of Brian Boucher. What are we making headway? Is my question, Father. I think we are. I'll be honest with you. I think the Catholics, 46% of whom voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. I think that Joe Biden's going to get the same, unfortunately, or less, God willing, because I really think the Catholics are waking up. What's your sense of that?
Well, let me tell you what my strategy was from the very beginning. All right, you just touched on it with your last comment about 46% of Catholics voting for Hillary. My strategy from the very beginning was to take that 46% who voted for Hillary and reduce it tremendously, right? Hillary was not Catholic. Biden is Catholic. You can make a much stronger case that Catholics can't vote for Biden than you could Catholics not voting for Hillary, okay, because of what I just laid out. So if we can get that 46% down to 40%, 35%, then whether they vote for Trump or not, all right, it still aids the pro-life cause, the Catholic defense cause, because Trump defends the Catholic faith, defends religious freedom, all right, defends much of what we believe in, right? So that's number one. Number two, my strategy from the very beginning, when I saw that Biden was going to be the nominee, and I will tell you guys that I was so bold to say, I hope he chooses another Catholic for his running mate. Because, again, the same thing would apply to the other Catholic, right? I want to make this a Catholic issue, purely a Catholic issue. But my strategy from the very beginning, and I have a large presence on social media and I'm getting interviewed once or twice a week, different platforms, was to silence the bishops who secretly support Biden. I want to silence them. I want to make it difficult from the very beginning for any bishop to come out
overtly and publicly say, we support Joe Biden. And I think we've successfully done that. No bishop has publicly come out in support of Joe Biden. We've had bishops criticize President Trump. We have bishops who get their surrogates, right, Catholics for Biden, Pope Francis voters, the group that you talked about. There's bishops behind these groups, all right? They're surrogates for these bishops who are hoping that Biden wins. Why do they want Biden to win? I have no idea. To me, the only thing I can think of is they think the Democratic regime is going to give them more money than a conservative regime. But my strategy from the beginning was to target the 46% of Catholics who voted for Hillary and silence the liberal bishops who may support Biden, make sure they don't come out publicly for Biden, or if they do, it's so embarrassing to them that they would cease to be publicly supportive of him. And then the third part of the strategy was to
Father, could we got to go to a break. Could you just hold on? Because we want to hear that. Sure. And we want to also expand on the fact that have you gotten any pushback? Because you are very vocal, and I want to hear if you have had some pushback.
Yeah, so Father Steve, we'll get into it on the other side of the break. I think, by the way, just as a quick comment, I think that that's a brilliant strategy. You don't have to go and contradict a bishop. All you have to do is make it seem so ridiculous if they actually come out and publicly support Joe Biden. I think it's a brilliant strategy, but we'll pick it up, Father Steve, on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Front Line with Joe and Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello. We are in the breach on the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online at crusadechannel.com, the last live radio station standing. And our live chat room, the only social media out there worth actually socializing in, is online at crusadechannel.com/chat. Please follow Joe and I on Facebook and YouTube. Like, subscribe, share, tell all your friends about it. Tell all your friends about what we got going on. And by the end of our conversation with Father Imbarato, he's also going to give you his information and where you can find him on social media. So we're looking forward to picking up this conversation more on the other side of the break. Stick around. Welcome back, everyone, to The Front Line with Joe and Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello. And we're way in the breach on the Crusade Channel, always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com. On our call and telephone line, we have the protest priest, Father Stephen Imbarato, who joined us at the top of the hour. And we're going to continue our conversation about Catholics and Joe Biden. So I'm going to hand it over to Joe Resinello.
Father, you were talking a little bit about your strategy with regard to confronting the bishops on this issue. Could you opine on that for our listeners here on the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online?
Sure. So let's, just for those that may be joining us now, my strategy was, first and foremost, really to lay out the case that doctrinally Catholics cannot vote for Joe Biden because of numerous scandals without committing the stain of mortal sin. I just did that in the first segment. But then the other part of the strategy was to silence any liberal bishops who may think about publicly supporting Joe Biden. And to this day, I am not aware of any bishops that have publicly come out and said they support Joe Biden. So that's number one. Number two, the target market is the 46% of the Catholics who voted for Hillary Clinton. Hillary was not Catholic. So it's even a worse situation with Joe Biden. But if we can get that 46% down to 40%, 35%, then that's a win. Whether they vote for Trump or not, Trump's not Catholic. In good conscience, somebody doesn't want to vote for Trump. Well, that's fine. I support Trump for many, many reasons.
As I said, particularly because of the Lincoln proposal, the personhood presidential executive order, my hope that he will give constitutional personhood, recognize constitutional personhood from the moment of conception. But again, if we can get people who voted for Hillary last time or are Catholic to not vote for Biden this time, and they shouldn't because they'd be committing serious sin, mortal sin, then that aids the cause, our Catholic cause. And the final part piece of the puzzle was to encourage the good bishops to find their voice. And I follow Bishop Strickland. I follow Bishop Hying. I follow Bishop Sticca on Twitter. I am friends with Bishop Olmstead. He has not come out publicly yet, but I think you're going to see something very powerful from him. Coming up very, very soon. I had a half-hour conversation with him last week and laid out what I just laid out for your listeners a little while ago. But you notice that Strickland and Sticca have come out very strong. Hying he's not as clear as I'd like to see him be, but still some very strong statements. Even Callahan, who is the Father Alton's bishop, remember, people forget this. All right, Bishop Callahan did not say anything about the truth that Father Altman spoke. Matter of fact, he said that what Father Altman said was the truth. This is about tone, right? This is about tone. This is about charity. You can debate tone and charity, but the fact of the matter is he did not say anything about what Father Altman said in terms of its veracity. Now, as far as Father Altman goes, Father Altman's a bold priest, and what he said was absolutely true. So he lays out, Father Altman lays out really the theological, spiritual, actually, more spiritual reason why you cannot vote for Joe Biden. Because if you know God, right, then you're going to love God. If you love God, you're going to obey God, right? Okay? I lay it out doctrinally, right? There are other people, like, for instance, I was talking to a Catholic who I'm going to be with in October in front of Biden's house. He says, I lay it out whimsically. In other words, I just make the case, as most people do, about Biden and, of course, not being pro-life versus Trump being pro-life. I stay away from that whole part of the agenda. I'll leave that up to you guys. I have my target market. I think that Father Altman did a great job laying out the case the way he did. I do not criticize bishops individually. I actually, if I'm going to criticize the bishops, I'll criticize them as a group, our shepherds, our bishops, our spiritual leaders. But if a bishop comes out and says something good, then I single them out, mention them by name, and encourage them. So that's the breadth and depth, really, of my strategy going forward. So far, I think we've been successful. I think we've done a good job. You notice that as soon as, and again, I'm not sure, Father Altman says that it's a mortal sin to be Democrat. You can't be Catholic and Democrat. I don't remember if he actually uses mortal sin. But I use mortal sin, mortal sin, mortal sin. And as soon as the other side heard mortal sin, that got them up in arms, right? And, of course, the heretic Father James Martin got up in arms. And, of course, these people haven't heard the word mortal sin, nor do they believe in mortal sin. They haven't heard of the word mortal sin in decades, probably, and they surely don't believe in it. So when they hear that, it sends up a red flag. But, again, they can say, well, matter of fact, you guys will love this. I actually posted a meme a few weeks ago when this all hit, a couple of weeks ago. I said, so one priest comes out and warns people about the potential mortal sin for voting for Joe Biden. Another priest comes out and says, no way is it a mortal sin. Doesn't Satan do the exact same thing?
Right? Yeah.
I mean... Come on, man! If someone's in danger of their of condemnation, of risking their salvation, risking their soul, the danger of committing mortal sin, I'm going to say, hey, wait a minute, you can't fall into that pit. Let me save you from the pit. Why, what does Satan do? Satan will say, nah, there's no pit there. There's no pit there. Guys, keep walking, right? Right? So anyone who gets up in arms about the whole word of mortal sin, you got to be skeptical about.
Father, I mean, let's talk about some practical things we could do as regular lay Catholics. Something that I and myself and my family and Joe's family on October 10th in fellowship with John Horvat's organization, TFP, we're going to be organizing some rosary rallies, one at St. Michael's in Lyndhurst, and then we're going to go down to Father Irenaeus' parish down in I think it's in Island, New Jersey. It's in it's a Polish parish. But I think that's something we can do. Something that me and my wife also have instituted in our house is we fast on Wednesdays for the church. I think this problem, I used to go nuts. I'll be honest with you, Father. I used to read things. I used to flip out. Like when I would read some of these things that went on within the church, I've come to the reality of these problems are just so deep and they're beyond anything I can do. All my ranting, all my anger. What I can do is I could fast and I can pray. This morning when I was drinking my coffee early, I was actually thinking to myself, it pretty much looks like Joe Biden is going to lose. I would, if I was going to be a betting man, I would say he's going to. And just like anything, when we invest in sin, it leaves you with nothing. He's going to be left with nothing. And he's in the twilight of his years. How do we get this man to see the error of his ways, to repent? Because he soon will be standing before the Lord. And he has surely led people astray by the fact that he is Catholic and the positions that he has taken. So what can we do with regard to that as Catholics? And also your message to the clergy to encourage him to repent.
Well, I think that the only thing you can do specifically about Joe Biden is pray and fast for Joe Biden. Not going to help Joe Biden's soul by him winning this election, him losing his election, this election, and coming to the realization of why he lost the election, because he's defying God, may bring him to his senses. I preached a couple of weeks ago that, you know, those who are in persistent mortal sin are depraved. They're depraved. The prodigal son was depraved, right? When Moses was on the mountain and God said to Moses, go down to your people, they become depraved. Why? They were worshiping the golden calf, right? Depravity, idolatry is depravity. Persistent mortal sin is assuming some type of idol in your life. That's sin, right? For Joe Biden, it's power. And indeed, his idol is an intrinsically evil agenda, political agenda, to acquire power in defiance of his Catholic faith. So I think praying and fasting, but the other thing you can do in these rallies is come up with a simple flyer about, aren't you afraid of committing mortal sin, right? Just yesterday morning, and I put a lot of memes up, just yesterday morning, why is Biden denied communion? Because as Canon 915 says, he obstinately perseveres in manifest grave sin. Can we vote for him? Not without committing mortal sin. Catechism 22287 is quite clear that we take on his sin with our vote. So, I mean, a short flyer, that's just a short meme, just a few lines. You know, you have to ask people, are you saying, people just say, I'm voting for Joe Biden, saying, are you saying that Joe Biden is not in persistent mortal sin? Are you saying that Joe Biden does not defy his Catholic faith in numerous ways? Their only answer is going to be, well, what about Trump? What about the other guy? He's got nothing to do with the other guy. We're talking about Joe Biden. This is a Catholic issue, a Catholic family issue. I tell people this all the time. You know, let's say you have your family and your teenage son goes out and does something really, really scandalous, that brings shame to the family. And you're sitting down and you're having a family meeting and you're praying and you're saying, what are we going to do about this scandal that brought shame to our family? And somebody in the family said, well, the kid down the street, he's doing the same thing. Your response is going to be, we don't care about the kid down the street, right? This is a family issue, right? So I just think that this is so, so important. I am sorry, but I am perfectly affronted, and I'm going to confront it with Joe Biden's mockery of our Catholic faith. I don't say his Catholic faith. His Catholic faith is not my Catholic faith. Our Catholic faith is, all right, obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he commanded, all that he commanded. The Blessed Mother said, ponder all things in your heart and do as he tells you, right? Well, Jesus is not telling us, all right, to preside over same-sex marriages and deny religious freedom to Catholics and freedom of religion and conscience and immoral experimentation, sexual perversion, sexual disorders. I mean, the litany goes on and on and on and on. It's just scary. We can't let this stand.
No, well, that's of course, obviously, Father Imbrato. I mean, you mentioned social media. That's why, you know, your voice is a very powerful one out there. And thank the good Lord, it's getting out there to a lot of people. Joe and my audience is growing. We do want you to address a particular issue that just came up in our neck of the woods. We have about 9 minutes left. But before we get into that, Father, just let the good viewers on the Crusade Channel very quickly know where they could find you on social media and your website.
Well, just put in my name. Actually, if you put in the protest priest anywhere in social media, my name's going to come up. If you do okay. a Google search for the protest priest, my name is going to come up, and you'll find my website, you'll find my social media platforms, and then through my website, you'll find On the Road for Life.
Okay, awesome.
What do you want to do?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Father. Recently in New Jersey, the New Jersey State Board of Medical Examiners were now permitting non-doctors to perform abortions in New Jersey. I don't know if you heard about that. That recently was in the news. I find that just utterly and absolutely appalling. What I also find appalling, and I mean, you're from our neck of the woods. Most of us are Catholic here. We're Irish. We're Italian. We're Polish. How people gloss over this. You could tell somebody this. You could say, oh, you know, you're for abortion. Abortion is for women. How could you possibly digest the fact that an abortion can be performed in the state of New Jersey and other states, New York being one of them, that a doctor isn't even performing it? I'm flabbergasted, frankly, and it's just getting more over the top. I mean, you travel a lot more than Joe and I. Do you see that these laws in some of these blue states moving in this direction?
Oh, they can't. There's no abortion doctors. They're all bailing. There's shortage of doctors. So they'd get the janitor to perform an abortion if they could. Of course, do it yourself abortions, at home abortions. But, you know, Joe, to address that, all right, I'm going to tell you something that you really appreciate. Father Stanley Castrozone, who was near and dear to both of our hearts, told me once I was talking about, at one time, national shutdown, national strikes. And this is when I thought we'd have a Democratic president following Obama. I was ready to do national peaceful protest, national shutdown. And like Lech Walesa, solidarity in Poland, right? JP2 and Lech Walesa, solidarity. And he said, first of all, that was a Catholic country. We're not a Catholic country. So we got a lot of Catholics here. Just the Catholics followed us. We could shut this country down. He says there's a reason why, or the big difference between why they were able to do it in Poland and that will not work here with abortion, is because the Polish people were directly affected by the oppression of the communists. People are not directly affected or oppressed by abortion. And that is why they are not willing to sacrifice to end it.
plain and simple. And that's why the pro-abort say that abortion oppresses women, right? That women identify with an oppression. Yeah, they're oppressing us. That causes them to rise up. But we're not personally being oppressed. And the oppressee, the little baby in the womb, we can't even see. And this is why we sit here and take what they are shoving down our throats.
It's unbelievable. You know, like I said, even in the language that's basically communicated by these politicians, they used to try to rationalize it. It's not rationalized anymore. It's so overt. Like, and again, I just say to myself, people, it just shows you how deeply rooted in sin our culture has become. Like any person that has a heart of flesh, as Christ tells us, if you were to tell me that you're going to kill a child 8 months in the womb, you would just cringe. Yet you would say this to somebody and they just gloss over it. I mean, this is a sin that cries out to heaven.
And along those lines, Father Steve, just to say, whatever happened to the argument about back alley abortions? You ask me now, I hesitate to call any doctor who performs an abortion a doctor, but nonetheless, if your concern is about women's health, by having non-doctors perform these atrocious procedures, is that not chasing women into the back alleys that they try to convince everybody that we're chasing them into?
Come on, they lie about everything. They've lied from the beginning, right? It's choice, it's reproductive health care, it's reproductive rights. They lie. They know they lied about the number of women who died from illegal abortions before Roe versus Wade. They don't care. It's about money, about power. It's about the what I call the sacrament of the evil one, child sacrifice. You know, Murphy's Catholic in Jersey, right? My governor here is Catholic here in New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grissom. Cuomo's Catholic. You look around the country, the leading baby killers on the state level are all Catholic. And you know what? You know what's going on? The same thing with the Muslims going after the Christians. It's the same thing with the same-sex agenda, the LGBT, you know. They know we're not going to fight back. They know we're going to turn the other cheek. They know we will not do what Antifa and Black Lives Matters is doing. They know that we're peaceful and prayerful, and they are going to, while demeaning us, right, telling us that we are dangerous, right, they are taking advantage of the fact that they know we're peaceful, that we're not going to rise up. And that's why when we rise up, we're going to have to rise up in 10 times the numbers, right? Because it's going to be pure numbers of peaceful and prayerful protesters that are going to bring this to an end. Mass arrest, tens of thousands of people in peaceful, prayerful, civil disobedience. But the other side, no, we're not going to do anything violent. They know they're safe. They know we're Christians. They know what Christians are all about. And they take advantage of it.
You know what it is, Father, too? I can tell you firsthand. I talk about going down the Mott and Hester at Planned Parenthood. I've had experience down there. The thing that gets them more angry than anything, spot on, is when they realize these people aren't going to punch us back. Right, exactly. Well, what are they doing? They're praying. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it bothers them beyond belief. I've seen it with my own eyes, or else I wouldn't believe it. Just how enraged they get when they see people who, like Father Imbarato said, they're not reacting violently. In fact, they're not reacting to them at all. They're praying to Almighty God for those people and, of course, for the babies that are going to be killed. It's such a powerful thing. We saw it recently in St. Louis, too. Father, any parting thoughts? We only have about a minute left.
Well, look, I love you guys very much. Thank you for having this platform. I really appreciate it. As I tell everybody every single day, you got to get out into the world. You got to witness your faith. You got to witness human dignity. You got to go out into the world and give them heaven.
That's right. That's right. And we, go ahead, Joe.
And Father, when you we want to hear more about your visit to Joe Biden's house. So keep us linked up with that. If you could send us some information. I know the folks on the Crusade Channel are very interested in it. We are as well. And once that happens, we'll definitely have you on and you could communicate that particular encounter. I know it will be absolutely interesting.
No problem.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Father. We'll talk to you soon. Father Stephen Imbarato, great priest of the Roman Catholic Church. He is the protest priest, so please follow him. You can find him at the protest priest. You can also find the Frontline with Joe and Joe on Facebook and YouTube at the Frontline with Joe and Joe. Like, subscribe, share, do all that fun stuff. And it was an absolute pleasure today to be with you all in the breach on the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online at crusadechannel.com, the last live radio station standing. Our live chat room, the only social media out there worth actually socializing in, is online at crusadechannel.com/chat. Joe and I are going to get the information. And I'll tell you what, if it's on a day that I could do it, I think I'm going to go and join him in front of Biden's house. I think I'm going to do that. I think it's very important. And I am going to, from my heart of flesh, I am going to pray for Joe Biden. So we want to thank you all for joining us. And remember till next time that our conversation is your conversation and that conversation.